been watching closely over the last few weeks, you may have noticed that we have
an increased number of pregnant women in this congregation. I'm not saying that you should point that out to them. In fact, don't say anything at all, okay? Unless they tell you that you're pregnant, they're not, all right? Don't touch anyone. Don't ask any questions, okay? And it's been so awesome because, you know, as a pastor, I get to visit people in the hospital and see them, their new babies and everything like that. The Wilsons, the O'Quinns, the Liss, the Campbells, and we just welcomed our first child into the world too, which was awesome, and we'll be baptizing him in the next service. And it's so funny because as you go through pregnancy, and you guys probably know this, that people come up to you and they want to offer you advice, right? And they'll tell you how you should expect things to be. And what I've come to learn is that all of that advice was absolutely worthless, okay? Not a bit of it was true, except for one thing one person said, that this baby is going to change your life, right? Would you say that's accurate? I would definitely say that's accurate. Everything changes. Your sleep schedule changes if you get sleep anymore. Your daily routines change. You have to change your pants all the time, doing more laundry because your baby's peeing on you. At least that's what's happening in my house right now. Your tax status changes, which is a huge benefit, actually. I kind of like that part. But there's so many changes going on, right? And it's just the most amazing thing in the world because at least me, I never thought that I would be so wrapped up in this little bundle of joy that we now call our son. Many of you know Luca was in the NICU for a couple days. His heart is on the wrong side of his chest. There were a bunch of other issues that led to that being the case. But about 20 hours after Luca was born, I finally got to hold him. Okay, everyone else got their chance before me, but Dad comes last, right? And so Luca was in a private room in the NICU. I guess he shared it with one other kid. And I went down there at about 11 o'clock one night. All the visitors were gone. Amy was asleep. I went down there, and I picked up our little boy. And I held him against my chest. And for those of you who know me, you know I do not enjoy crying. Okay, it's like top list of things I don't enjoy doing. But I just cried. You know, I just cried because I've got this little baby and he's breathing and he's going to be okay. And as I'm looking at him and as I'm looking at all the little features of his face and his lips and trying to count the number of hairs on his head, I start wondering, you know, what is he going to be like? What kind of a man is he going to become? Is he going to be a pastor or a millionaire? Hopefully a millionaire because I need somebody to take care of me later on in life, right? What's he going to do with his life? What is he going to accomplish? And as I was thinking about those things, I thought, what is it that I want to communicate to my child? What is it that I want to teach my kid about life? And so I left with that thought. I put Luca back in his bed. I went upstairs, and Amy was awake, and she was watching this video. It's a YouTube video called Kid President. You guys know what that is. It's a little kid who dresses up in suits, and he gives life lessons. And she was watching the one titled A Letter to a Person on Their First Day Here. And I want to show that to you right now.
There's a lot that the kids need to know. A letter to a person on their first day here. Today, over 360,000 babies will be born, and you are one of them. Welcome, this is the world. It's a pretty cool place. There's lots to see, smell, there's corn dogs. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's just so much to do. Singing, dancing, and laughing. Laughing's the best.
It's especially great when you laugh and milk comes out of your nose.
But only if you just have milk. Otherwise, it's just gross. Some days gross things will happen. Some days awesome things will happen. Some days you'll get ice cream. Some days you won't. Some days your kite will fly high. Some days it gets stuck in the tree. It's just how it is here. There's plenty of reasons to dance. You just gotta look for them. Don't worry though, you won't be doing this alone. You're gonna meet lots of people here. Some of them will be really nice, and some won't be. It's not that they can't be, it's just, maybe they're just having a bad day. Being a person is hard sometimes. You should give people high fives just for getting out of bed.
Oh, high fives, I forgot to explain that. How do I explain this? It's kinda, high fives are like hitting someone who is your friend.
That's really bad. Just treat everybody like it's their birthday, even if they don't deserve it. Because we all mess up sometimes. The biggest mess up? Not forgiving each other's mess ups. Maybe you'll be a teacher. Maybe you'll be president. Maybe you'll cure every disease ever. You might even see the Grand Canyon, swim in the ocean. Ah, oh, this is so much. It's a lot. Try this. Take a breath. Isn't that amazing? It's called breathing. You're gonna do it a lot, but nobody knows exactly how much. So enjoy it. Pay attention. Take brain pictures. Because amazing things will happen every day. You're gonna do so much. But it's not about what you do. It's about who you are. And you, you're awesome. You're made that way. You're made from love, to be love, to spread love. Love is always louder, no matter what. Even if hate has a bullhorn, love is louder. So let your life be loud. Let's shout to the world. Things can be better. It's okay about all the mess ups.
We're not cruel.
Sorry, I'm just keep bringing that up. I don't think I told you this yet. We're really glad you're here. We don't say that enough to each other here because, well, life gets busy. You're gonna be important and you're gonna do a lot and you're gonna smell great, but don't get too busy. Remember to let everybody know you're glad they're here. You don't have to remember all this right now. You're gonna need a pep talk sometimes, and that's okay. For now, remember this. You're awake, you're awesome, live like it.
It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. I love that video for so many reasons because it expresses so many truths in our life, right? And I want my son and you want your son to have the best life possible. That's what any parent wants for their kids. They want their kid to get corn dogs if they like them. I don't think they're delicious at all. You want your kids to have ice cream on certain days of the week. All right. You want your kid to be able to fly the kite. You want your kid to live in this beautiful life, in this beautiful relationship with others. And for us Christians, we want our kids to live in a beautiful relationship with God, right? But we know, just like that video said, that we all have things that we mess up on. We all mess up. And that's such a hard reality to cope with as a parent, to think that my kid is going to make the same stupid mistakes I did. And that there are going to be times in his life where he's hurt and sad, that he breaks relationships and focuses on himself. I know that that's going to happen, but I don't want it to. Nobody wants that to happen in anyone's life. And so one of the things that we do as parents to protect our children is to give them rules, right? We protect them. We want them to be the happiest, and so we build rules up around them so that they can be happy, so that they can be in harmonious relationships with one another. So we have rules like, as a child, clean up after yourself, because nobody likes cleaning up after someone else. So if you want a good relationship, especially with your wife, you clean up after yourself, all right? We have other lessons in life that we teach rules through, like we should forgive people. Because that's how you live in harmony with one another, that you shouldn't yell or call people bad names. These are all good rules. And yet what often becomes the case is that we get more focused on the rules and the regulations in our life rather than what those rules and regulations are supposed to do, which is to promote good, healthy, harmonious relationships. Let me give you an example of that, because this happens so much in kids, is that you take two kids, and I see this all the time, two kids, two beautiful children, and they're playing, and then one of them like slaps the other one and start crying, and there's tears and they're screaming, and then you as an adult come up and you say, you need to apologize, right? And the kid's sitting there thinking, I haven't done anything wrong in my mind, but I need to follow the rules. So they give a half-hearted apology. And then you say to the other kid, you need to forgive him. He goes, I'm not going to forgive him. But I'm going to, because that's the rules, right? And they pronounce half-hearted forgiveness. And that shows that we are so focused just on the rules and the regulations rather than the relationships. We're focused more on the regulations than the relationships. We view rules, and like I was talking about last week, as things that we need to check off our list. We view all the laws of God, all the laws of our life as things that we need to be able to check off so we look like good people. That's called legalism, right? And what I said about legalism is it's contrary to the gospel. It's contrary to following Jesus, because the legalist believes that there is something he or she can do or not do that will get God to love them more or less. And if that is true, then there's no need for Jesus, right? But yet, this is how we continue to live as legalistic people. And we live according to the laws, not because they're good for us, not because they help us in our relationships, but simply because we want to be able to check off the list and show God that we're following his rules. And that's what we're dealing with here in Mark. In Mark 7, you know, we dealt with verses 1 through 13 last week, this week 14 to 23, and yet Jesus is constantly showing us this problem within the hearts of the Pharisees. Last week we talked about it was about washing their hands, how they were so religious about washing their hands because they thought that their hands needed to be clean. And they kept going with this, and Jesus is saying, like, hey, you don't get it. Those rules, those regulations are meant for something completely different. They're not a checklist. They're meant to help you live in a harmonious relationship with God and others, and yet you're forgetting the relationships and only focusing on the rules. It becomes very evident that the Pharisees and so many people within this early Israel are struggling with legalism, that they live and die by the rules. And that is not how God intended it. See, the rules were meant to be a means to an end, a means to having healthy relationships, but they became an end in and of themselves, a checklist to view yourself as more holy than everyone else. And Jesus points that out. The greatest problem that the Pharisees have is inside of them. So Jesus quotes an interesting passage from Leviticus. He's talking about dietary laws, and he said, you've heard what it's like to be defiled from the outside. And so let me explain that a little bit. If you go into the book of Leviticus, has anyone ever read Leviticus all the way through? Kind of a dry read, huh? Yeah, it's not something that you want read at your funeral or your wedding, right? And you go through this book, though, and it has the dietary laws. And there's certain animals that the people of Israel were not allowed to eat. And we have a hard time understanding that in our present day, but there is a reason for it. Number one is that it set people apart. It set God's people apart from everyone else who worshiped false gods. But number two, it also protected the people. It helped them to live in a more harmonious relationship because it kept them healthy. Here's the way to relate to it. When you go to a restaurant, you can order a beefsteak rare, right? It's disgusting, but you can order it that way and it's not going to kill you. You will never go to a restaurant, though, and order a pork steak or a pork loin rare. Why? It's because pork has the ability to contain more contaminants and to hurt you in the end. Well, okay, food science was not as developed in the first century as it is now, but we know that. These rules were in place for a reason. And yet, people forgot the reason and they just wanted to follow the rules. And this is what Jesus goes after. So if you're looking in your bulletin, if you want to follow along with me, we're going to look at Mark 7, starting at verse 18. And this is what Jesus says. Don't you see that whatever goes into a person from the outside is not that which makes him unclean, since it enters not into his heart, but into his stomach and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean. If you're wondering if Jesus loves bacon, he does, okay? That's essentially what he's saying here. I love bacon, and I love Jesus because he loves bacon, all right? Then he goes into verse 20. He said, what comes out of a person is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, and sexual immorality, and theft, and murder, and adultery, and coveting, and wickedness, and deceit, and sensuality, and envy, and slander, and pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within, and that's what make a person unclean. What Jesus is saying is that you've thought that your greatest problem you've had is outside of you, following dietary laws, or working on the Sabbath, or whatever else, but the greatest issue we have is inside of us. It's in our heart. And if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we read through this list and we think, you know, we're not that bad of people. And yet all these thoughts and desires lay dormant within our hearts. We're just waiting for the right situation to bring them out. We wonder why there's so many broken marriages within our society, sexual immorality and adultery. We wonder why friendships get ruined, theft, coveting, deceit. We wonder why people die, murder. We wonder why we villainize people, evil thoughts. It's pretty clear that the problem is not outside of us. It's inside of us. Without getting too political, and I do not want to talk about this after the service, in case you're wondering, okay? Gun control. We talk about gun control. We talk about needing to get guns off the street because that will protect more people and there will be less school shootings, all right? Let me give you my view. Guns aren't necessarily the issue. Are guns used to commit crime? Absolutely. Should we have more gun control laws? Sure. You're not taking mine away, but you can take everyone else's away if you want to. What causes school shootings, what causes issues, is a heart that is extremely messed up. And we can try and put as many rules and regulations on things, but that will not ever change the heart. Do you know it's against the law in the United States to murder someone? And yet people do it. It's against the law to speed, too. That doesn't stop my wife. It's in her heart. She has a heart that is dirty with sin. And one day she's going to get a ticket and she's going to deserve it, all right? But that's our heart. Our heart is filled with all these things, and we would like to think that the greatest problem in our life is outside of us. You know, for the Jews, for the Pharisees, everything was outside of them. You know, clean hands, clean pots, clean food, whatever else. And we think the same thing in our life. That when we're experiencing pressure in our life, we say the greatest problem is outside of us. If we're having problems at work, it's because our boss is a jerk. If we're having problems in our marriage, it's the other person's fault because we're doing everything right. If we're having problems with our kids, it's because the kid is messed up. If we're having problems in our friendship, it's always the other person. And yet the reality is that the greatest problem that we deal with in our life is not outside of us, it's inside of us. It's in our heart because our heart is focused constantly inwardly on ourselves. We have a heart that is selfish. We have a heart that is wrapped up in itself. We have a heart that is only thinking about self. We have a heart that wants to do evil things for some reason because it makes us feel better. Or it ends up that we get our way. It's in our heart. And no amount of rules, no amount of regulations is ever going to change our heart. And Jesus knows that. And that's why in this text, in this whole first part of Mark that we've been talking about, he's taking the focus off the regulations and he's putting the focus on the relationships. He said, you guys have forgotten the purpose of the laws in the first place. Okay, the Ten Commandments, all the laws in the Old Testament, they're focused around two desires of God, that you would love him and love others. Those are the only two things. Every single commandment is focused on one of those two key desires of God. It's about relationships. It's about your relationship with God and your relationship with others, and Jesus knows that. And yet, even as he turns and reorients us to this reality that relationships are important, our heart is still so broken and stained with sin, and we are still so focused in ourselves that we don't know how to change anything. This is what I fear as a parent, that my child's heart will be filled with evil desires or theft or murder or whatever else. And as a pastor's kid, he's probably going to wind up pretty messed up anyway. What do I do? What do you do in your life? Because you don't have the ability to change your own heart. And my son doesn't have the ability to change his heart. And Jackson doesn't have the ability to change his heart. See, we realize that the greatest problem in our life is inside of us. And yet we also have to realize that the only solution is outside of us. That something needs to change from the inside out. That something needs to penetrate our heart and change us from the inside out. You know, as I was preparing for this, I came across these words from Ezekiel, and just listen to this. This is what God says. One day I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in the ways and to obey my rules. Do you see this? It's all about Jesus. Like the kid president was saying, it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. Well, who are you on your own? You're a broken sinner. And yet, who are you with Jesus? You are changed. You are made perfect. And we see this as Jesus comes down from heaven and lives this perfect life, and he's eventually beaten and crucified. Why? Because he loves you. Even for all the times that you've put things above him. Even for all the times where you've cursed his name. Even for all the times where you've talked bad about his creation. Even for all the times that you thought you could do things better. Jesus dies for you. And he leaves us with this promise that all those who are baptized in his name are washed clean. David prays in Psalm 51, Lord, create in me a new heart. And Ezekiel says what's going to happen. He's going to sprinkle clean water on us. He's going to give us a new heart. He's going to give us a new spirit. And that's what happens here. You can't change yourself. I don't care whatever self-help book you're reading or Joel Osteen or whatever else. You will never be able to change yourself, but Jesus can. And for those who enter in through the waters of baptism, Jesus will. In baptism, we see a picture unlike any other. A picture where God looks at his people with love. A picture of absolute grace. Let me show you a picture of what I think this looks like. This is a picture of Jennifer and Mitch, right? Jennifer had a C-section, just like Amy did. Mitch, did you peek over the... Yeah. I made the accident of... when I went over to see Luca, I turned around to see Amy, and Amy was still behind the curtain, and I looked at this area, and I'm like, oh my God, is that her liver? You know? They took her liver out? I thought this was just like childbirth, right? Just take the baby. Don't take anything else. She needs the rest of that stuff. There were things out that shouldn't even ever see the light of day, okay? C-sections are ridiculously ugly, okay? I'm just going to say that. And you're going through a lot of pain. Maybe not during the moment if you have an epidural, but you're sure going to feel the pain afterwards. And unfortunately, Tennessee has a new law with the opioid crisis. You can only get 3 days of pain medication at a time. That's another issue. Not something I want to talk about after service either, if you're wondering. And you're going through all this pain, and I know watching my wife go through that as she was shaking on the table with all those fluids going in her. And you know that the pain's going to come after this, and you know that this little boy that you're holding in your arms here and that you're looking at in this picture is going to cause you some grief in your life and sleepless nights. And yet you're looking at this child with love that I would never be able to put into words. This is how God looks at you. After all the pain, after the pain of crucifixion and death and being beaten, after the pain of us turning our backs on him, This is how God looks at you. This is how God looks at you as he waits to make a promise to you in the waters of baptism. This is how God looks at you as he desires to be your father, with the eyes of love that words could never describe. As you leave this week, I want you to remember your baptism. The day that Jesus claimed you as his own. The day where you got a new heart and a new spirit. And remember that you were made from love, to be love, and to spread love. Jesus loves you so much. So do I. Amen.